Morning. Again. So, is my microphone good? Not going to have to hike up my skirt again? Give everybody a show? So, Father, how was your first week on the job? Well, we had 3 lightning strikes in 4 days. Yeah, there you go. That's the way of looking at it. Someone else looked at me and said, well, where's the sin in your camp? Okay. So, I knew that there were going to be unexpected issues that I was going to have to come up with. I didn't realize I was going to have to learn to be the amateur IT guy. So I've spent more time working on modems this week than just about anything else. But, you know, and so begins week 1. But that's okay, because there will be many more weeks ahead. So, looking at the gospel today, we have Jesus who leaves Judea. He leaves the land of the Jews altogether, and he heads into the region of Tyre and Sidon, which are way, way north. It's as far north as Jesus ever went. And he goes into the northern hinterlands, and he starts visiting with all the pagans. And he goes, and he first visits this woman who Scripture makes very clearly she's not a Jew. Now, the Jews had scattered all about the ancient Near East. There were Jews in Egypt, there were Jews in Rome, there were Jews all over the place. But Scripture makes very clear this woman was not a Jew. She was a Syrophoenician. She was not Jewish. And she comes to Jesus and says, my daughter has a demon. Cast the demon out of her. And Jesus basically says, no. I'm here to minister to the Jews. I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. It's not right to give the children's food to the dogs. You dog. And this is just after a period where the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they all come to him and they're like, okay, Jesus, I got you on this one. And they throw one thing after him, after another at him. And every time they throw something at him, he makes them look so foolish. Every time, they just shut him down. They try and shut him down. He shuts them down. And it just backfires on them time after time after time. And here is this woman, with all that that means in the first century, in ancient Syrophoenicia, ancient Tyre and Sidon. And this pagan comes to him and says, I need you to do something for my daughter. I'm not doing something for some pagan. You dog, you. And she says, yeah, okay, so I'm a dog. But even the dog get the scraps after the little children get fed. And Jesus goes, oh, okay. And here he says, for this saying, go your way, the demon has left your daughter. No fancy stand up, come out of her, demon. No, you know, wow, I've this faith, it's incredible. Wow. For saying this, the demon's left your child. Go away. Peace. Go off. You're done. And she gets up and she leaves. No, hey, can I get that in writing? No. Really? That's it? You know? She's done. She gets up and she leaves. And when she goes back to her house, her daughter's fine. That's some faith right there. And that's some amazing faith. She didn't need Jesus to go to her house, lay hands on her kid. She didn't need any of that. She disputed with Jesus and won. which is the only time in any of the Gospels that that happens. Nobody ever argues with Jesus and wins, except here. It's the only time that happened. And by the way, he had wanted to remain anonymous. He wanted to go into this house and just have a bite to eat. Maybe get a nap. You know, a little matzo ball soup, some hummus. And no, all these people are coming to him. Hey, I've, you know, got this ailment. I've got this ailment. My kid's got a demon. Yeah, heard that before. So he leaves Tyre and Sidon, and he goes back down south, and he goes east of the River Jordan into a region called the Decapolis. Now, if you know anything about Greek, that means the 10 cities. But the 10 cities, because it's in Greek, it's a Greek region. This is not a region of the Jews. This is a pagan region. And he goes into this region of pagans, and they brought him somebody else who was deaf and had an impediment of speech, and they begged him to put his hands on him. And so he goes to him, and he puts his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, immediately the tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Okay? This is what we call a recreative miracle. Okay? You had somebody who couldn't speak, who couldn't hear, and Jesus basically recreates this man's ears, he recreates his mouth, he fixes what was malformed. Just as God created him, he recreated him, he fixed what was wrong. All right? Remember that we were all formed of the dust of the earth. Right? He spat, he breathed, he sighed. He recreated him. Right? And he said, be opened. And his ears were open, his mouth was open. All of a sudden, he could praise God, he could hear God. And, yeah, I bet he did say hallelujah. And then Jesus said, now don't tell anybody about this. He commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Well, you can't win them all. Then they went around saying, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Okay? So, he goes around and he is opening, he's already opened blind eyes. Now he's opening deaf ears and mute tongues. Okay? This sounds a whole lot like the passage from Isaiah that we read earlier. Okay? Now, has anybody ever been in a situation where, you know, all of a sudden just light bulbs went off and they saw things completely differently? And just, you know, the eyes of your enlightenment were just opened. I remember way back, I know, you're going to be like, way, seriously? Back in the day, when I was a mere 14, I know, I was a freshman in high school, and I was going to like the first dance of the year. And I certainly didn't want to be the only one of my friends that was going to that dance. So I was going around asking all of my friends if they were going to the dance. Because frankly, if none of my friends were going to the dance, I wasn't going to go to the dance. Because I wanted to be, you know, walking around at this school of like 1,000 people, the only one of my friends at this dance. Okay? So I was walking around asking all of my friends if they were going to go to the dance. And this one young lady who I'd known for years caught me after the fact, after I'd asked her if she was going to the dance, and said, hey, So was there any reason in particular that if you asked me why I was going to go to the dance? And all of a sudden, the eyes of my enlightenment were opened. And I saw things in a different way. And I don't know if it was the way she asked the question, or the tone of the voice, or a lift of the eyebrow, or what. But I saw things differently from that point. And at that point, I mustered all of the meager game that I had in my 14-year-old self, and I managed to ask her and convince her that she needed to go to the dance with me. Yes, so. But the point was, at that point, a light bulb went off, and I saw things differently. This was no longer somebody that I had known for a couple of years. We'd been in classes together. We'd done some projects together. This was somebody I could take to a dance. This was something different. Our eyes need to be opened. Because we see the world around us in a certain way. We see the world around us as people we interact with, as coworkers, as colleagues, as nuisances, as obstacles which need to be avoided or overcome. That is not how we need to see them. I will be paraphrasing this because it's a rather long quote, but C.S. Lewis said there's no such thing as a mere mortal. Every soul which we encounter is destined either for eternal glory or eternal damnation. And they will either be something so unimaginably glorious that we could never imagine how beautiful they will ultimately be, or something so unimaginably horrible that one glimpse of them would torment our nightmares for all eternity. Our eyes need to be opened so that we see people, every person, not just as that guy at work, that woman with the annoying voice, that person who takes out the trash, the guy at the drive-thru, not just as those people, but as our mission. They are our goal in life. They are our goal for the afterlife. That is what our mission is. And we see them as the world sees them. And our eyes need to be opened. We need to hear Ephratha and see them differently. They need to see us differently. And for the most part, they see us like everybody else. But if we were walking in the full power of the Holy Spirit, they might see us differently. If we were praying over them, if we were ministering to them, if we were speaking prophetically over them, that would change a lot of things. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not really doing that. But now, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, anybody who wants to look it up? Jesus said, "For those who believe in me, greater things than I do and more will you do in my name." Now, I haven't raised any dead. I fed a lot of people, but I've never fed 1,000, certainly not 5,000, and certainly not with a couple loaves of bread and some fish. My wife doesn't like fish. So, greater than I've done? No, I'm not anywhere near that. Why not? Why not? Well, when Liz and I first got married, we were in a house over off a parental home. And it was a nice house. Wouldn't nearly fit the family now, but it was great for when we first got married. And probably after about 6 or 8 months of being there, we ended up with this problem. Anytime that you are running two different water-based appliances, like the washing machine and the dishwasher, at the same time, the toilet in the bathtub would back up. This is a major problem. This is a catastrophic problem. Because you're just, you know, doing something pretty normal. You know, you're like, you know, doing a load of laundry, getting the dishes done. And the next thing you know, your bathtub is full of black rankness. And your toilet starts to overflow onto the floor. This is not okay. Okay? So, why in the world does this happen? Well, demon come out. Well, demons are easier to cast out than tree roots. Because what happened was when this house was built, they used a kind of pipe that was called, I think, Orangeburg pipe, which is essentially rolls of tar paper rolled up, which is perfectly acceptable for having fluids roll from your house to the sewer, but it provides zero resistance when your friendly neighborhood oak tree starts trying to go through it. And after enough time, you get an intruder root that will completely obstruct your little pipe and prevent anything from getting, and you get too much going out at the same time and everything just stops and you get a horrible mess in your bathroom. Okay, so we had to do some plumbing fixes. It involved digging a trench, laying some new pipe that was not made out of tar paper. It was no fun. Okay? But essentially, we had to clean out the pipes. We had to say to the pipes, be opened. Because we didn't want nastiness and foulness in our bathroom. In fact, you have a bathroom so you don't have nastiness and foulness in your house. So, we have this problem where we have these things in our lives that prevent us from getting rid of our nastiness and foulness. There are these obstructions in our lives. There are these intruders that if we really sat down and analyzed ourselves and really did some thoughtful introspection, we'd say, I don't want this here. This is blocking me up. This is making my home foul. I have unforgiveness that is keeping me blocked up. I have fear about what's going to happen here. And it's keeping me all sorts of tense about this issue. I'm worried about what happens if I start talking to my neighbors, if I invite them to church. I'm worried about what happens if I open my mouth and start praying for someone, or if I dare speak out prophetically when I think that God is giving me something. What's the worst that could happen? I might be wrong. I might look silly. Sillier than somebody in a big white dress? Look at them. I look good in this. What do we have to be afraid of? Might lose my job. There you go. God can get you another job. I might lose my friends, or I might save their souls. I might win them for all eternity. Our eyes need to be opened. Our pipes need to be opened. Our souls need to be opened. We need to clear things out. This church has a call on it. The eyes of our understanding, the ears of our understanding need to be opened so that we hear the call on our hearts, so that we see the mission field as it is supposed to be viewed. Each and every person as our targets, our call, so that we hear the call of their hearts. And we need to know what's holding us back, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whether it's unforgiveness. Now, if you have unforgiveness, that's only something God can deal with. If you have fear and doubt, that's something God can deal with. That's something God has to deal with. But we have a call, and we need to answer that call. And everyone needs to be participating in that. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to take an opportunity. And just like Jesus did when he passed through the Decapolis, when there was somebody who couldn't hear and couldn't speak, he prayed for them. Amen. And he said, be opened. If you have something that's holding you back, we're going to call the priests up. Amen. We're going to stand up in front of the altar, and we're going to give you an opportunity to come up. Amen. If there's something that's holding you back, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's just, hey, I've never done this before, then we're going to call you up. You're going to have an opportunity to come up, get prayed for. We're going to pray, be opened. But here's the promise from Isaiah. Okay? I want you to listen to this. The last song of praise and worship that we did today was Let the River Flow. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and brushes. This is a dry and thirsty land, and it needs water. But the irrigation is not going to flow if it's backed up. We need these pipes to be opened. We need that river to flow. So we need these pipes to be opened. We need our eyes to be opened to who we need to be looking at. We need our ears to be open to the call. We need our mouths to be open so we can speak God's word to a people who are lost and are dying and who need to hear him. So, if you need to be opened, the altar is open. Come forward and be opened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father's.